Good morning and welcome. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So this morning I'd like to talk about passionately pursuing God's purpose for your life. Because God's passion is the alternative, his alternative to Satan's plan for depression and apathy and despair. We're not talking about the kind of passion in a negative sense where it's lust and immorality, but rather a healthy passion, excitement, enthusiasm, zeal for life that God wants us all to have. Dictionary.com says that passion is a strong or extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, or desire for anything, such as a passion for music. It's the opposite of apathy. And I read a quote that said, the greatest enthusiasm has its roots not in human inspiration, but in God. The word enthusiasm comes from two words, en theos, or in God, literally meaning in God, or inspired of God. And in our congregation, we have, I think everybody has some passion, at least I hope so. You know, we have Yuri, who has a passion for excellent music. We have Art, who has a passion for congregational singing and fine craftsmanship. And I have a passion for godly leadership and for traveling. And I hope that we all have a passion for doing with enthusiasm and zeal what God's called each of us to do. Paul says in Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And all of our passions, whether they're spiritual or temporal, should be united on one purpose for the glory of God. So I'd like to hear from you. What are your passions? What are you excited about? What inspires you? What motivates you? Just call them out. Not all at once, though. Getting the Word of God to the world. Life skills journaling. What else? Well, it sounds like we need this sermon, I guess. I am particularly passionate about youth and them finding their passion in life. Many of you as youth are still discovering what that passion is going to be. You're still searching. And there's some uncertainty, and that's okay. That's normal. But I kind of think of youth, and I see three things happening that I've observed. One is misdirected passion. Passion pointed toward things that maybe aren't bad, maybe they are bad, and that's even worse, but too much time and energy going into things that aren't really that important in life. Or I see youth who are apathetic and don't have any passions, and they don't know what their purpose is in life, and so they just kind of float along. But the way God wants it to be is youth and everyone pouring out passion into life, work, recreation, spiritual life. And it brings me a lot of joy to see a young person who is pouring passion into every area of their life. They're using their strength in healthy ways, their energy. They're ready and willing to serve. As a single person, they have a lot of freedom to build relationships with the men and women around them in their lives. They work hard, they play hard. They don't have their identities in Christ, not in clothing and sports and vehicles, even though they may enjoy some of those things. That's not where all their passion and energy is going. So first of all, before we go into looking at passion, I'd like to look at a couple things that kill passion in your life, because Satan wants to do that. He wants you to be apathetic and bored. I heard someone say, I read recently that we have Christians and atheists, but he said that's not really as big of a problem for God as the people who just don't care. An atheist knows what he believes, and he's closer to becoming a Christian than someone who don't care if there is a God or why there is a God or if it even matters. So first of all, pornography is a passion killer, and usually viewing pornography is kind of a symptom of some deeper problems and issues in someone's life. But you show me someone who's apathetic and completely bored about life, and there's a really, really good chance that pornography is in their life. Another passion killer is aimlessness. Kind of goes along with it. You know, there are times in our lives where we don't know, maybe especially for young people, God hasn't shown us the calling, the spouse, the ministry, whatever it is, but apply yourself right where you are. Put your energy into that. Be faithful. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Wherever that is, even if you don't have a calling, you don't know who your spouse is going to be, and you don't know what your life's work is, put your passion into whatever you are right now. Another passion killer is laziness. And I define laziness as the unwillingness to do the hard things that you need to do and that you know you should do. Because passionate people are willing to do hard things that lead them towards their calling, that fulfill their calling. Bob Collins said, when people are highly motivated, it's easy to accomplish the impossible. And when they're not, it's impossible to accomplish the easy. Another passion killer is a victim mentality, and we can all relate to that. To illustrate that, a number of years ago, we were eating at Carrabba's restaurant, and Spence had a really nice rack of ribs, and he was enjoying them, but he was pretty young, and he was about halfway through that rack of ribs, his fork was halfway to his mouth, and the waitress just came along and took the plate away, and I guess she thought he was finished with it, and he was just sitting there in shock as his food went away that he wanted to eat. And before the rest of us noticed it, it was long gone, so he had no more ribs left. And I'm not saying he was being lazy or aimless or apathetic, but the reality is life is going to do that. If we aren't intentional, if we aren't paying attention, if we're not assertive, the ribs get taken away sometimes. They make us into life will make us into a victim if we're not paying attention. Another passion killer is rejecting God's calling. Luke had this to say, Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Because they rejected God's purpose, you can see they weren't passionately doing what was right. They were passionately defending their own pride and their own turf and all of that, but they certainly weren't being passionate for God. So I think passion and God's calling on our life are closely tied together. We're going to see that as we move along. So let's move into the good part, the passion builders. What are the things that help us grow that passion that God wants us to have? I think one of the most important ones is discovering God's calling for your life and walking in it. That is so important. And that doesn't at all mean that life is going to be easy once we discover that. It might be harder. Jesus experienced that. He was in the garden. He was praying, John 12:27. He said, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. He knew exactly. He was clear about what he needed to do. And it was really, really hard, and he wanted to walk away from it. But he said, shall I ask to be saved from this? Not going to do that because I know this is why I'm here. This is the reason. Having a goal and a purpose. Genesis 11:3-6. Let's turn to this one. And we'll see some people who had a very clear goal and purpose. And a goal and a purpose will drive us to do things very passionately. In this case, it wasn't good things, but the illustration still is true. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. God said they're going to be able to do anything they want to do if they have this kind of purpose. And because it was evil, he stopped it. But the reality is, a goal and a purpose is powerful. We have a goal for our family to take all of our children to all the continents except Antarctica. And the reason is to help them become more open-minded, to help them have a broader perspective in life. And you can argue with whether or not that's a good purpose, but I tell you what, it makes you think. We realize that we only have a limited amount of time to do that. And so thus we have to plan, and we have to live, and we have to act accordingly if we're going to accomplish that. And it drives us and how we make our decisions and how we plan, and it makes a difference. So a goal and a purpose is important. Another passion builder is intentional living. And I like the illustration of dead fish and alive fish. If you have, during the, and when the salmon are swimming upstream, you know how to tell the dead ones from the live ones. The dead ones are floating downstream and the live ones are bucking the trend. They're bucking the world around them and they're moving in the right direction. And they're going to get there because they're swimming towards the purpose, God's purpose for them. And if we're swimming towards God's purpose, we can expect to encounter hardship and difficulty. It won't always be easy, but we're going to get there if we continue to do that. Nito Kubin said, when a goal matters enough to a person, that person will find a way to accomplish what at first seems impossible. Another thing to build passion is thankfulness. And this is a little bit the opposite of the things we've been talking about, intentional living, good choices. It's also important to remember that we can't accomplish those goals and purposes on our own. We need God's help. Thank you, Titus. That was perfect. So just to acknowledge, we can't do it alone. We need God's help. And on our own, we're going to fail, without a doubt. Another thing to build passion is long-term thinking. And I look at Christianity as the ultimate in all long-term thinking. Jesus said we're to lay up our treasures in heaven. So we're investing in something we can't see and will never experience in this life. There are certainly blessings of the Christian life in this life as well. But the ultimate blessing that we're looking for is that long-term thinking beyond the end of our lifetime. Brian Tracy said, the clearer you are about the consequences of your actions, and the more intensely you desire to enjoy the consequences that your behaviors may lead to, the more motivated you will be. So are we clear about what are the consequences, both good and bad, of our choices? And if we're thinking about those long-term consequences, it's going to make us make good choices now. Another passion builder is obedience. God has told us to do a lot of things. Some of them make perfect sense. And others, we just can't figure out why he told us to do these things. At least that's the way it is in my life. But the reality is, we need to choose to obey when it makes sense and choose to obey when it doesn't make sense. Abraham, God said, leave your home country and go to somewhere I'll tell you someday. And it didn't make any sense to him, I'm sure, but he obeyed it anyway. Another passion builder is investing energy and sacrifice. We very much tend to be passionate about what we invest time and energy into. Charles Baudelaire said, inspiration comes of working every day. And sometimes we don't feel like doing the right thing. We don't feel like being passionate and investing energy. But as we do that, it can grow our energy and it can encourage us. And start where you are. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity. Some people sit around their whole life waiting for their ship to come in or the perfect opportunity or their calling or whatever it might be. Grace says different times, what's in your hand and who's at your door? What do you have that you can give and bless people with? And who's there that needs that blessing? Another way to invest energy is to invest in fervent prayer. I find it very easy to have lightweight prayer time and then move along. But when we invest fervently, it makes a difference. Paul told Timothy, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We need to rekindle, we need to build, we need to invest in those gifts that God gave us. Another passion builder is perseverance. Zig Ziglar said, people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. And isn't that true? Motivation on its own doesn't last, and sometimes we need to persevere. Sometimes we need to keep going. We need to keep investing when it doesn't feel like, when we don't feel like it. Another passion builder is saying no appropriately. And this is one I have not mastered well, and I've talked with some of you about this. But we can only be really passionate about a few things. And if we try to invest passion in things that we're not passionate about, or too many things, too many areas, we're going to burn out, and we'll do them poorly, and our families, our ministry, our work will suffer. There are people, and I think we all know these people, who can juggle lots of balls, right? Not literally, but in life. They have this business and this ministry and this and their family and all these things, and we watch in amazement, and they're juggling all these balls perfectly, and then they take on another one and another one, and we're like, wow, how do they do that? I couldn't do nearly that many. But the truth about those people is, when they get overloaded and when they can't juggle any more balls, who can tell me what they should do? When you have too many balls, what do you need to do? Give them away, drop them, whatever, not so many. But the reality about those people is they don't do that. They drop them all. Yeah. And it's really bad. And recovering from dropping all those balls is very, very difficult. The reality is, let's say no before we get to that point. Because those kind of people, maybe I'm one of them, don't know when that is. So let's find that out. Say no appropriately. And think about the different balls that you're juggling. Some are made of rubber, and if you drop them, they'll bounce and be kind of okay. But your family, your spiritual life, those are made of glass, and if you drop them, they're going to shatter. Can't do that. I'd like to talk a little bit about finding your calling and passion. If we need to be know what our calling is to be passionate, then how do we find it? Don Everett says in his book, we are all created as gifts with gifts to share. That's what we're here for. We're here to bless other people. We are a gift and we have gifts. God created you, every one of you, to solve some very specific problems, to fill some very specific roles, to do some very specific tasks. How are you going to find those things? And keep pursuing those things all your life. Let's turn to Acts 26, 16 to 18. And here, Paul got his calling in life. He was on the road to Damascus. Jesus said to him, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I would be really glad if Jesus told me in that many words exactly what my calling is in life, but most of us didn't get that. Most of us have to dig a little bit more to discover what that calling is, and that digging might look like prayer. It might be trial and error. Well, this is the thing I did for a while, and I realized that's not my passion, it's not my calling, and I don't do it well. Maybe we need to ask advice. The people around us can be a great way to get some insights into us, because usually they can see our gifts better than we can. But be careful of what kind of people you surround yourself with, because some people will encourage you to use your gifts wisely, and other people will encourage you to waste them. Luke Kipfer talks about calling a lot, and he says there are three P's that can be an indicator of your calling. One is passion. We've been talking about that. What excites you? What do you do that you lose track of time, and wow, it's 3 hours later, and I've been enjoying doing this. Another one is proficiency. It's not enough to be passionate. I was in Florida, and I saw people kite surfing. And if you've never seen that, it's a big kite, and you're on a board on the water. And I thought it looked like a lot of fun. I was really excited about doing this. But it turns out when you try to do it, I learned that passion does not equal proficiency. And I wasn't doing the big fun jumps that I was seeing people do. I spent a lot more time in the water than on top of the water. So you need to have passion and proficiency. What are you good at? And then you need to, then there's profit. And that sounds mundane, but we all need a way to support ourselves in some way. Or maybe that's something else to support our passion if our passion doesn't pay well. But those three things, if you're trying to figure out what your calling is, passion, proficiency, and profit. And then I'd like to look at valuing the calling in others, the passion in other people. We're called to stir up the passion in each other. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Let's turn there. I'd like to read to verse 31. Talks about the gifts, the callings, and valuing that in each other. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And realize that you have a gift that I don't have, and I have a gift that you don't have. And if we can acknowledge those gifts and stir them up, build each other up, encourage them. Because there's times in all of our lives when we're not as passionate as we ought to be. So let's encourage it. Be passionate ourselves. Enthusiasm is contagious, and so is the lack of it. And so if you lack enthusiasm, that will tend to spread. And if you are passionate, that will also tend to spread. Dr. Carl Menninger tells of a time when President Jefferson was traveling on horseback with a group of friends when they came to a river and found the bridge had been washed away by a flash flood. The only way to cross was to have their horses swim the treacherous currents. It would be risky as each rider took his life into his hands to cross the river. A man traveling on foot came up to the group just then and walked up to Mr. Jefferson and asked if he might ride across with him. The president agreed and they made it across safely. As the man slid off the horse on the river's opposite bank, one of the other riders asked him, "Why did you select President Jefferson when you asked this favor of us?" Obviously stunned, the man admitted that he hadn't known it was the president. "All I know," he explained, "is that on the faces of some of you was written the answer no, and on the face of some of you was written the answer yes, and he was one of the yes faces." Let's be yes faces to each other. Just our faces can make a big difference. You walk up to someone, you can see a no face or a yes face. What are you going to be? Because it makes a difference. Let's compliment the gifts that we see in each other. Let's call them out. Maybe someone is working in a gift and they had no idea it was a gift. Tell them about it. Bob Wilson said, "You get the best effort from others not by lighting a fire beneath them, but build it by building a fire within." You've all tried to build a fire underneath someone, right? And how well does it work? Does anyone know where that expression comes from? Build a fire under someone? World War II, Hitler was through the winter trying to head into Russia, and you know how disastrous that was. They weren't prepared for the cold, and each morning they would light a fire under their tanks to warm them up. Anyway, so just kind of a side note. I always find that interesting. But building a fire, if we have children, you've tried to build a fire under your children, right? How well did it work? We need to build that fire within. And there's only so much we can do to build a fire within someone else, but we can work on it, and they can choose whether to let us do that. Thank people for their contributions. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Continue, all the more encouraging each other. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Let's operate in our gifts, in our passions, to the glory of God. And in closing, I'd like to look at what Solomon had to say about the rewards of a passionate life. Ecclesiastes 9, 7 to 10. "Go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil, in which you have labored under the sun. What your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going." This isn't an invitation to sinful pleasures, but rather an invitation to live passionately the life that God has called you to.